You know, sometime between 7:55 and 8:02, the school bus was going to arrive. And as Paul would get ready, and every morning we'd try to coach him a little bit to be aware of the time, Paul, look at the clock, and then look out the window because the bus is going to come. As we were doing that this morning, we thought this again would be a wonderful teachable moment. And so there was Paul. He was all ready for school. Had his spring jacket on. He was seated in this three times his size recliner with his feet dangling. And it was about 7:56. And Jeanette asked Paul, because, you know, the bus is coming, right? She said, "Paul." And Paul's loving life. His head is in the clouds. Said, "Paul, what time is it?" And Paul looked at us and he says, and his little feet went back and he leaned back in the chair and he let go of his tote bag and he said, "It's party time." And we were like, "Where did that come from?" But we love it. And it has been kind of a theme of our family ever since that time. I don't know where he got that other than our church parsonage had great parties. Amen? What time is it? Well, it's party time. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. By the way, I want to let you know of a wonderful event happening here next Saturday night. Yes, Lisa's going to be having a show, and that starts at 8:30, and at 8 p.m. Everything that's raised that evening is going to go to the PADS shelter, raising money for PADS, so praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lisa. Bless you as you do ministry. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, if you have your Bibles, turn with me there. I'd like to thank Reverend Brian Bill for his contributions to my message this morning. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake and a large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. And he said, "Follow me." And Levi got up and followed him. And while Jesus was having dinner, see how fast that happens, party time. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. And when the teachers of the law who were, on hearing this, sorry, we missed a couple verses there. When the teachers of the law and the Pharisees saw this, eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Upon hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Just a couple points this morning. It's very simple. Follow Jesus, number one, and love people with Jesus' love. Jesus had been in Capernaum, which was located on the northwest shore of Galilee. It happened to be right on a main trade route. It would be like Route 26. Yes, sir. Does everybody have their ballots in? Thank you. The correct ballot, which was distributed today, is vote for one. Sorry. So sorry. That should be vote for one. Give Riley another ballot, and when you see that vote for two, just void it, if you would, please. The ones that we saw last week, did say vote for two, and that was a mistake because there wasn't an opening for two. There's an opening for one. So my apologies for that. I thought we had done our best to make sure all those work of the nominating committee ballots were gone so that there wouldn't be the confusion today, but invariably there's always a little glitch, so sorry about that, my fault. Are all ballots in? All right, thank you. So Jesus is there in Capernaum, and he's on a major trade route. And people are continuing to come to him. And the tense of this verb is that as they kept coming to him, he kept teaching them. I think it's a wonderful theme for our life, that whenever we are living life, we are doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. Amen? And not just sporadically, but keep on keeping on in faithfulness. Amen? On a major trade route. And amid all those people who are flooding him with their needs, Jesus focused in on one. We'll call Devin Matthew today. Levi. And amid all those people, with all those noisy needs, Jesus focused in on Levi and he said, "Follow me." Now you can imagine what that might have felt like for Levi. But you know, it wasn't maybe what we might have initially think, because we live a long ways from first century Palestine. And tax collectors didn't have a very good reputation. No, they didn't. But his parents intended that his life would be blessed. They named him Levi. And does that ring a bell with anybody who's familiar with Judaism or Jewish history? What was the name of the priestly tribe? Levi. They had hopes for him. In fact, I think that maybe they were hoping that he would become part of the work of God. Maybe he couldn't be a part of the priestly tribe, but he would fulfill a calling in his life. And then Jesus spots him and says, "Levi, son of Alphaeus, follow me." And Levi gets up and he leaves his tax collector's booth and follows Jesus. Now, we understand from reading this story that was quite a shock in the moment, because there were Pharisees, teachers of the law, in the crowd that day, and they looked at Matthew or Levi and they looked at Jesus and they couldn't believe that Jesus had just called a tax collector. Because in their minds, tax collectors were despicable. They were defiled. In fact, they were cast out of the synagogue, even if they were Jews, because Jewish people could not rectify in their minds that someone who collected taxes on behalf of Rome could actually have a good heart. And so they kicked them out of the synagogue. In fact, they wouldn't even accept their tithes. By the way, we'll accept all tithes here. Amen. In the minds of the Jewish people, in the minds of the Pharisees, tax collectors were dishonest, disqualified, disloyal, detestable, disgraced, and defiled. Like I said, Capernaum was on a major trade route between east and west, so it was a perfect place to set up a tax booth. And as I understand how the situation worked back then, it was like, let's say you were a businessman or woman, and you bought a weigh scale that you could set up anywhere you wanted to set up in Illinois. And you could unfold this thing on the highway, and trucks, as they were coming through, you would have the authority to wave them in and they'd have to stop. And you could charge taxes. And if they were overweight, oh my goodness, what fun. Now you had to send in whatever you collected in regards to taxes that you might collect. But then there was this thing, because it was privately owned and Matthew had purchased a franchise in order to collect tax on behalf of Rome, there was this thing called an administration fee. And as owner of this little business that collected taxes for Rome, you had the authority to charge taxes that you had to send in, but you also had the ability to charge a slight administration fee. And so Matthew, as well as his colleagues, were known to do things like charge for however many legs a mule had as they were walking by. Had the authority to charge tax for however many fish a fisherman collected. And I can't blame James and John and Peter and Andrew for looking at Matthew and saying, "You charged us double for every fish we ever caught." And they had to. I mean, now, we tend to assess people, you know, from a distance. We look them up, we look them down, and we think, "I got this." And I do that sometimes in the barber shop. People will come in, and maybe I don't know them. I had one yesterday that came in, and he sat down like this. And I thought, boy, it's got an attitude. And he had to wait a little while, and I'm thinking, man, I wish I didn't have to make him wait, but whew, I think it could be a rough one. And he waited, and he sat down. He wouldn't look at me. I'm thinking, man, it's going to be tough. So finally came his turn. He got up, and he got in my chair, and I said, "How you doing?" He said, "It's doing great. Isn't it beautiful outside today?" And I'm like, man, I got that one wrong. I thought this guy was going to, you know, like really be a difficult one, but he was carrying the moment with his levity and attitude. It was good. And I'm thinking, you know, I misjudge people all the time. And yet sometimes our default is to go with how we assess people, isn't it? The disciples looked at Matthew and they thought, there's no way. And the Pharisees looked at Matthew and said, what a loser. He could never be a follower of God. You know what Jesus did? He looked at him and he saw a man who was discontent with where he was in life. And he met a man who had an appetite for deep spiritual things. And he looked at Matthew and he saw his heart. And he knew it was a prime time to call Matthew, come, follow me. And Matthew didn't tidy up his books, didn't say anything about that. He didn't collect the spare change. He got up and followed. Now, being on a major trade route, can you imagine how coveted that one location would be? How many of you have ever had a booth at some kind of flea market or something, and there's always that one spot? It's, you know, by the door or by the entrance, and you're like, if I can get that spot, sales are going to go through the roof. It'd be kind of like McDonald's down here. Matthew down here at McDonald's, you know, manager of McDonald's. This is like the busiest McDonald's there is. Like, you ever been by the one in Oregon? I mean, there's got to be, these two have got to be in close competition here. There's just cars going around all the time. And so Matthew, being in a prime location on the major trade route, was giving something up. And he knew that as soon as he vacated his spot and sold his franchise, that there would be others who would take that spot immediately. So he gave it up and made a total commitment. Kind of like the chicken and the pig. They're walking down the road and they saw a breakfast menu outside the door of this restaurant and said, bacon and eggs, $2.95. And the chicken said, is that all we are to people? Giving breakfast food? And the pig said, for you, it might be a contribution, but for me, it's a total commitment. Matthew made a total commitment to following Jesus. It says, he rose and followed him, and immediately he obeys. He gets up and does what he's supposed to do. Jim Elliot is famous for saying, there is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Congratulations, Jay. You're a citizen of the United States. Over there in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, you are no longer strangers and aliens or foreigners, but you have been brought in to God's family. American citizenship is one thing, and it's awesome. We welcome you. But we have been brought into God's family. And you or I, when we make an assessment of as far as who's going to get in and who's not because of how they look and what they do, Jesus teaches us that it's not about our assessment. It's about his love. Our assessment is usually always wrong. But Jesus sees the heart. And he ministered in such a way as to give Matthew an open invitation to come and be a follower of him. Jesus really picked a motley crew, didn't he? I mean, if you would have looked at these guys, are these the guys you would have chosen? And then if you would have asked Matthew, once he became a follower of Jesus Christ, how it is that he is going to become a leading evangelist for the Lord, I think Matthew would have said, I have no clue. You want me to what? Share my faith? How am I going to do that? And then he thinks, I can throw an awesome party. And when I put out an invitation, people come. Kind of like last night. Whoa! I mean, the place was full over there. We had put out extra tables, extra chairs. It was all the way back. Because, well, Jay makes awesome tacos. And Danielle can throw an awesome party. Amen? Can I remember, I remember over there at the Super Bowl party. Throw an awesome party, not just for church folks, but for people who in your life, like your neighbors, you invited them in. And you know, while we were going like, yay team, get the ball, throw the ball in, get a tackle, your neighbor was like going crazy wild. She had no idea that she was being loved on by people from the church. Because we don't get to say who gets in and who doesn't, amen? Our role is to follow Jesus and love people with the same love that we have been loved with, because the Bible tells us that we are all sinners saved by grace. You see, if anybody would have made an assessment of you or me before we became followers of Jesus Christ, there's probably not many people that would have said, now there's a good candidate. They might have said, with that attitude, he doesn't have any hope. But that's not what Jesus saw in me. What he saw in me was God's finished work. Amen, Robin. So he said, you, follow me. But expect opposition when we do that. Pharisees were like, how come your teacher eats with tax collectors and sinners? Because if you reclined at the table with a tax collector, by the way, this, I'm not sure what version we're on here and what I'm reading here, but recline, or the word translated recline, is used three times, that Jesus reclined at the table, which means he leaned down on his elbow and partook and broke bread. And he had an accepting attitude toward the people that Matthew brought in who were just, you know, his circle of friends. It was beautiful because Matthew was like, so you've asked me to share the good news of Jesus Christ. What in the world can I do? I can throw a party. And wouldn't it be awesome if James and John and Andrew and Peter came and then we just got together and talked about sports and we had nachos and cheese and tacos and we just got everybody together. And, you know, while Matthew's friends brought who they were and their lifestyle and they brought came into the party and they were doing what they always do. Matthew was like amazed because amid all the stuff going on, there were points of light in the crowd. And James and John were talking to the IRS guys, sprinkling the conversation with salt. And then there's Peter and Andrew over there talking to the accountants. And all these points of light were kind of guiding the whole evening as they kind of looked over at Jesus and he was reclining at the table with the tax collectors and the sinners. In fact, Jesus said as he looked at the Pharisees in another part, in another gospel, he said, prostitutes and tax collectors are going to get here into the kingdom before you will. He's talking to the people who made an assessment of who's going to get in and who's not. And he said, it's not about being perfect. It's about knowing that you're not. And so the humble, those who are willing to come and worship him and leave behind the pride, Jesus says, welcome into my kingdom. And love him as you would like a little child. I wanted to start this morning by singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. There was a time in my life when I thought I was getting too old to sing that song, too mature. And then I was reminded that the kingdom of heaven belongs to someone with an attitude of humility like a child. And so I realized I'll not ever get too old to sing Jesus loves me, as long as my heart's right. C.T. Studd is famous for saying, some wish to live within the sound of a church or a chapel bell, but I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. In his book called Onward, Russell Moore reminds us that we should never forget the transformative power of the Holy Spirit as we engage the culture that we are in. Whenever he feels himself getting discouraged about the future, he reminds himself that the next Billy Graham might be hungover right now. And the next Jonathan Edwards might be the man driving in front of you with a Darwin sticker on his bumper. And the next Charles Wesley might be a profanity-spewing hip-hop artist right now. And the next Charles Spurgeon might be managing an abortion clinic right now. And the next Mother Teresa might be a heroin addict right now. And the Pharisees looked at the tax collectors and they looked at their self-assessed sinners. And they looked at Jesus and they said, "How can you?" And Jesus said, "I've come to seek and save that which is lost." It's not the healthy who need a doctor. It's the sick. This is dangerous. This is risky. It's definitely safer to huddle in and be in a safe place where we tune out culture. But Jesus teaches us over and over again to engage the culture that we're in. Jeanette and I have had the privilege of living next to a bar for 13 years. And we have come to love the people. Now, there's times that they do things that they haven't quite thought through. And things happen in our driveway. And I remember when I first moved there, when Jeanette and I first moved and Paul and Alyssa first moved there, I remember thinking, what if my district superintendent shows up on a Sunday morning and pulls into our parking lot and sees the Bud Lights and the everything else that, the religious, we think, we need to kind of steer people away and avoid, you know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking, what if Crawford Howell comes and he sees Bud Light, on my step going up to my deck? Because every Sunday morning, after Saturday night, I go out and I kind of pick it up and then I come in and wash my hands because I don't want to smell like too much like beer when I come in on a Sunday morning, So I wash it off and I, clean up the cigarette butts around and I, get it all, neatly packed away in the garbage. And then I thought, I'm not so sure that Crawford or Scott would worry about it. In fact, I know. That a life engaged with their neighbors is a good thing. I cut these guys' hair. Sometimes they stop at my place first, and then they go next door, and then sometimes they stop next door and they come to my place. I had one kind of out of it the other day. I wasn't sure if it was going to go very well. He had stopped over next door first, and then he came over, and he had a few too many. He was a little bit soused by the time he came over, but he had some things to say, and he had to add it. He shared his heart with me. Let's say that. But I'm pleased that over the course of these years, many of these men have become my friends. And instead of chasing them away when they have a beer on the steps of our deck on a Saturday night, I'd rather pick up their can than I would tell them to get off our step. It's dangerous, it's risky, but I'm telling you, I think it's what Jesus would do. Jesus Christ came to seek and save that which was lost. And then over there in John 17:15, he says, "I do not ask that you take them out of the world," as he prays for his disciples. He says, "but that you keep them from the evil one." When Oliver Cromwell ruled England, the nation experienced a crisis where they ran out of silver and couldn't mint any more coins. Cromwell sent his soldiers into the cathedral to see if any silver was available. And they reported back that the only silver was in the statues. of the saints, to which Cromwell replied, "Let's melt down the saints and get them back into circulation." I thought that was pretty good. When we think about melting down, it really has to do with letting go of we're so sure of our assessment of people. But Jesus just kind of breaks that every time, doesn't he? And he says, "John, your role is to follow me and love people just like I've loved you." And that is a beautiful thing. I can do that, not in my own strength, but with his. I'd like to invite our worship team to come on up as we close this morning. Back in the 1980s, the Minnesota Twins had this description of the game of baseball in their program. It said, "You have two sides, one out in the field and one in. Each man that's on the side that's in goes out, and when he's out, he comes in, and the next man goes in until he's out. When three men are out, the side that's out comes in, and the side that's been in goes out and tries to get those coming in out." Baseball can be very confusing. There's so many rules to understand that it can be hard on new players. And finally, the program stated, "If children only see baseball as a bunch of rules that everyone knows but them, it's easy for them to get discouraged and just quit." Then the program stated, "It's better to just get out there and play the game, and pretty soon you'll pick up the right rules." But that's pretty good. Jesus, thank you for leading us, for calling us, for not excluding us because of how others have assessed us. Jesus, thank you for being a friend of sinners. Thank you for being our friend. Thank you for giving your all that we may be saved. Lord, help us with humility receive the grace that you have offered to us. And help us extend this grace that we have experienced into the lives of people all around us. And help us, Lord, lean on you and build relationships with others in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving. He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a strength and weakness. Jesus, what a strength and weakness. Let me hide myself in him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, he, my strength, my victory wins. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me to the end. Jesus, I do now receive thee. Next verse, Brother Brad, there we go.
Jesus, I do now receive thee more than all. In him I find he hath granted me forgiveness. I am his and he is mine.
Sing it from the heart. Hallelujah, what a Savior.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Praise His name.
Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful.
Amen.
God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.
And before we dismiss, I think we've got some news here. Let me just share with you. All right. Our elected steward is Shelley Long. Our elected trustee is Halacio Valdez. Our Nazarene Youth President, Dan Long. Our Nazarene Missions International President, Ella. Our Sunday School and Discipleship Ministries, Jeanette. And our delegate to District Assembly is Bill, and our alternate is Mark. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, for agreeing to serve this year. May God bless as you serve. All right. And Steve, I don't want to take the last word from you. Dismiss us, please.
You are dismissed.
Well played. Well played. Have a great day.